This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome Brady Cannon to the show for the first time. He has the Long Shots podcast, and he talks about golf and handicaps golf for the Visa Network based in Las Vegas. So let's start there, Brady. Certainly does feel like Phil is the biggest story. A guy who's not there, actually. I'd love to get your reaction to the fact that he's still in exile and not defending his title at the PGA.
Now, Amy, you put it really well, and I kind of hadn't thought of it that way. Obviously, there are two different stories, the major and the guy that's not there, but you're right. Unfortunately, it's kind of, you know, taking up some of the headline space and all the newspapers and what have you, and I think it's just an unfortunate situation. I was asked earlier today, do you think people on tour miss him? Do you think people miss him? Or do you think this is kind of his own doing? And, you know, he deserves it, or, you know, for lack of a better word. And I really think it's both. I think you and I both, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, a miraculous event last year in Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship. And now he can't defend it, or now he has chosen not to defend it, whatever it is. We spoke with Alan Shipnuck on our golf show a while back in February. He was previewing the Pebble Beach tournament for us, and he kind of, you know, alluded to some of the conversations that he had with Phil in writing this book, which just came out a couple of days ago. And it seems to kind of all spiral downward since then. I actually worked for Billy Walters, the famous, you know, probably the best sports gambler there ever was in the world, who had a relationship with Phil. And, you know, that was kind of soured by, you know, I eventually ended up in Mr. Walters going to prison. And now there's thoughts that Billy's going to come out with a book that will divulge more black marks on Phil Mickelson's resume, if you will. And I don't know if any of that's true. I mean, I do believe it's true that Bill's coming out with a book, but it's just kind of gotten ugly. And then, you know, of course, there's the whole Saudi tour, and why is Phil really motivated to do that? I can certainly, Amy, you know, I've had this conversation with a couple people, like, let's say Kevin Na. Kevin Na is kind of a middling ranked PGA Tour player, probably not going to win a major ever in his career. Certainly has a handful of PGA Tour victories and has been very successful. But let's say maybe he wants to go basically make a retirement nest egg, and he's going to go to Saudi and he's going to, you know, win an event or whatever it is and collect a bundle of cash, and then he's going to ride off into the sunset. I don't know if I can completely blame a guy for that, but I don't believe, on the other hand, that the young kids on the PGA Tour and Dustin Johnson and these guys that are absolutely in it for the big prize, the major championships, I don't think they're going. I don't think there's any way they're going. And I wonder what the answer is for Phil. Phil's obviously accomplished just about everything you could possibly dream of in a golf career. So I think there's just still a lot of question marks out there, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, I think I'm like you, Amy. I don't have a lot of answers at this point, and we're kind of speculating on what the motivation is and what will the end result be.
Knowing what you know of the tour and the golfers who make up the tour, will he be welcomed back if he chooses to return?
It's a good question. I very much think so, but I also believe that a lot of tour players have known exactly what Phil is for a long time. And I think they have known that he's extremely egotistical and has always been very about Phil. And I think that's rubbed a lot of players the wrong way. At the same time, I know he's been a great mentor to some other players. So I think that's a mixed bag as well. But, you know, if he's given forgiveness or whatever it is by the governing bodies of golf, then yeah, he's going to be back. And who knows, maybe we'll be back to normal again.
It's interesting because we went for a long stretch without Tiger Woods. And in that void, we had Phil Mickelson becoming the first major winner at 50 years old. And now we're going this long stretch without Phil. But hello, Tiger has returned again, which is just a strange.
You're doing a good job of spinning all these storylines, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I do on my show. So, Brady, even though it's a Tiger Woods that maybe there aren't as many expectations because it's just his second tournament back, it's still Tiger Woods. So it's just, it's interesting too to think about him and where he is and the miracle of him playing in a second major in 2022.
No, you're exactly right. And it was thrilling to see the success that he had at Augusta National. I don't know if it's going to be such the celebration this week at Southern Hills. And I said it before the Masters that, you know, as the week approached and we were able to garner more information about Tiger's health and, you know, the status of his game and just everything that was going on, it wasn't that long before that I thought there was a 20% chance that he would even play in the Masters. Then as we got closer, we learned more. And I said, you know, I think it's probably a pretty good bet that Tiger Woods is going to make the cut. And it was plus money. It was like plus 125 or something like that. And I said, I think that's a pretty good bet. Because this guy can, he's not here to just make the cut. We know how Tiger's mentality has been for 30 years or whatever it is. If he's here and he can walk and a course that he knows probably better than anyone else in the field, he's going to be able to handle this for 36 holes and make the cut. So I felt that was a good bet. After that, I said, you know, another 2 days, another 36 holes of Tiger Woods walking the grounds of Augusta National Golf Club, which is a very hilly golf course with a lot of elevation change, is very grueling to walk for anybody, let alone a guy who, you know, almost lost some limbs a year ago. I said, that's going to catch up to him and he probably won't finish too high. And, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but that's exactly what happened. This time around, this is not Augusta National. This is not a course he knows like the back of his hand where he's performed well time and time again. I think it'll be more difficult, and I actually think a good bet in this case would be for Tiger to miss the cut. But I'll tell you what, Amy, I did bet Tiger Woods at 50-1 to win the British Open.
Wow.
I think in July at St. Andrews, he's going to have a chance. And I'll tell you why. I go back to him knowing Augusta National better than anyone. He may know St. Andrews better than anyone in the world at this point. He's won there twice. And there, I also believe there is a correlation between success at Augusta National and success at St. Andrews. Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, Zach Johnson, Tiger Woods have all won at both golf courses. You also look at other players that have had success at both golf courses, Louis Oosthuizen, Mark Leishman, Jason Day. The other thing is St. Andrews is as flat can be. It's not going to be hard to walk at all. And the fact that he's got another couple of months to heal before he gets there. And I'm not concerned with his golf game. What I saw at Augusta National, the golf game's not the problem. It's the health. And the strength in his legs and what have you. So by the time we get to mid-July, 50-1 I thought was worth a shot on Tiger to win the British Open.
Brady Cannon is with us from the VSiN Network, which is based in Las Vegas. You can find out more on VSiN.com, and he's got the Long Shots podcast, which that would qualify as a long shot, 50-1, although it's funny to think about Tiger Woods as a long shot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What makes Southern Hills, which is a course where he did win one of his PGA titles, what makes it a challenge?
Amy, I think when he won the PGA Championship in 2007, the real test was putting on the greens, on very fast greens, and also very narrow fairways that were guarded heavily by trees. That's since changed. This is a very different golf course from what we saw in 2007. Gil Hance was brought in to remodel the course, and remodel is kind of a funny word because he kind of took it back to what it was in 1935 when Perry Maxwell designed it and his original intentions. And so the fairways are much wider now. He got rid of the rough the collars around the greens, where if your ball was going to roll off the green, it would be caught by some thick, gnarly rough and whatever, and you'd have to hack out of that. He's added some creeks that meander their way through the golf course, some additional water hazards. He's reshaped the bunkers. It was pretty much a major overhaul, but his goal was always to restore what the original designer had in mind. And I think one of the big, well, there's two major factors. The fairways are much wider, so there's not as much of a premium on accuracy off the tee. And then with taking that rough around the greens out of play and just creating these runoff areas, like we see at Augusta National, maybe Pinehurst number two, where, you know, if your ball is going to run off the green, it's just going to run off and it might roll 50 yards off the green. So that has certainly changed the approach to this golf course. And I think, you know, because of those two things I say, with these greens and the runoff areas and the fairways being wider and driving accuracy not being a huge factor, I think it's going to come down to iron play, precision iron play, because essentially the greens have shrunk in size because you don't have that border, that collar of rough to stop the ball. Now you have to be even more precise with where your ball is landing on these greens in order for it to not roll off. So you have to be a tremendous iron player, and you're not going to be perfect all the time. So when your ball does miss the green and roll off, you have to have a fantastic short game and be a great chipper of the golf ball. So those are my two most important skill sets this week: iron play and short game. And I think if you do well that do that well for 4 days, you're going to possibly have a chance at hoisting the trophy.
Who are some safe bets based on what you know of the course and what you were just talking about?
Yeah, I actually played 10 guys to win the tournament. That's kind of a lot. You know, on a week-to-week basis, I typically play maybe 6, maybe 7 guys in the outright market to win it all. When a major, you know, rolls around, we get a little more excited. But part of that is that the odds are up on the board a lot longer too. So, you know, for months in advance, you're kind of seeing a guy at a price and you're like, ooh, that looks attractive. Maybe I'll try that. You know, anyway, what it's boiled down to is I have 6 guys that I'm pretty serious about their chances. And that is, Colin Morikawa, Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris, Xander Schauffele, and Daniel Berger. And you notice a common thread between all of those guys is they have terrific short games, right, and they're arguably the best 6 iron players in the field. And that's what I just talked about, iron play and the ability to scramble around the green. So those are kind of my more serious plays. And then I took a shot with 4 guys at triple digits as well. And I certainly didn't just frivolously play them. I do believe they have a lot that makes sense here too, as far as success at correlated courses and iron play and everything we've talked about. Tommy Fleetwood, Gary Woodland, Jason Kokrak, and Chris Kirk. And Fleetwood and the rest of the guys, they're all in the neighborhood of 100 to 150 to 1. And Chris Kirk is an absolutely huge long bomb. And I don't necessarily expect him to win. He's 350 to 1.
Whoa.
Yeah, totally. And I don't think I've ever made a bet at odds that long. But when I was crunching all my numbers this week, Amy, he popped up on a lot of different areas. And I said, geez, okay, 350? Shoot, I'll put some lunch money on him and see what happens. You know?
Lunch money. I like it. Brady Cannon is with us talking PGA Championship, and he's got the Long Shots podcast. He's also on the VSiN Network After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Jordan Spieth, and he's in this power grouping with Tiger and Rory McIlroy the first couple of days, and he's mentioned how needed it is to be included in that group. He's also in pursuit of the career Grand Slam. Now, Jordan's gone through a bit of a downturn the last couple of years. He's come closer in stretches, even recently, challenging at the Byron Nelson. But what does it mean? What would it mean to Jordan to win this major and then have one of each for that career Grand Slam?
You take his first major championship, which I believe was the Masters.
Right.
And obviously that was incredibly special. I would think this one would rival that just as special, completing the career Grand Slam and kind of closing that you know, chapter of his book that he's writing. I would love to see it. I'm personally a fan of Jordan Spieth, and
me
I know
too.
Some people. Yeah, I'm glad you are. I know some people get annoyed by the constant chatter and everything like that, and I always say, well, and nothing against Patrick Cantlay, and I remember, you know, from back in the day, Vijay Singh. I didn't like it when those guys won because it was so boring. There was no electricity. There was no charisma. There was no pizzazz. It was just very robotic. And I, you know, sometimes it gets old, especially like you referenced a couple years ago when Jordan Spieth was really struggling and the constant chatter kind of took the tone of a whine. And we don't like to hear people whine, but I really love the fact that Jordan Spieth wears his emotions on his sleeve and you know, go get that when he points to his caddy to go get that ball when he won the British Open. I mean, I love the guy. I think he, and when he did win that first Masters championship, the way he handled himself and respected his elders and those that were there before him, I think that showed me what kind of person he is. And that's when I really started to fall in love with him and root for him. And I'm certainly not betting with my heart on him this week. I mean, he's arguably the hottest player in the world, having won at Harbortown and finished second last week. And, you know, he went to University of Texas. I'm sure he's familiar with this course. He knows how to play in the wind. His game is tremendous right now. He won at Harbortown and lost over two strokes to the field in putting. So think about how good the rest of his game was. And what have we always known Jordan Spieth for? Short game. Mm-hmm. If he's able to figure the putter out this week, he'll win the thing.
No shortage of storylines at Southern Hills with the tournament teeing off on Thursday morning in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can find Brady Cannon on Twitter at Las Vegas Golfer. His podcast is called Long Shots. There's always plenty of those in golf and in sports betting. And then you can also hear him on VSiN Live, the VSiN network based in Vegas. Well, we are glad we were able to connect with you for the first time. We hope to have you again, Brady. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, Amy. Fun talking to you. And yeah, anytime, you know, any golf tournament, a major championship, whatever you need, it was fun. And thank you very much. And enjoy the PGA Championship.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.